You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So how is it going, people? I am getting ready to go to bed, and I've decided that, you know what, I really need to spend a little bit of time to put together another one of these Essential Movie Podcast episodes because, well, we should have one this week, and I haven't recorded. So I'm recording Monday, January 6th. If this week will play out one of two ways. I will either make time to make an audio time capsule episode and plug it in for Wednesday, or if I am just continuing to be lazy, as I seem to be lately, then this, you'll be listening to this on Thursday, you know, which was my traditional Essential Movie Podcast scheduled day. So I haven't decided, am I going to make time to put together the next in the audio time capsule episodes or not? I don't know. I don't know the way I'm kind of wired this week is I'm just, you know, there's a lot going on at work. So, and it's just, it's busy, but it's not overly, I mean, it's stressful in its own regards, but stressful in a good way because there's a big project of mine that's kind of taking up a lot of my mental bandwidth. And sure, a podcast is always a good, you know, mental release, but at the same time, I don't want to ever get to the point where I feel like I have to wrangle something together so that you guys are listening, you know, to, you know, like another one of those time capsule episodes. I don't want to force it, if that makes sense. You know what? I don't think I've ever described to you guys what I consider Banzai Retro Club Studios. Now, basically what that means is it's a small desk in the corner of the master bedroom. And on it is my Dell computer. I've got one of the arms that has my microphone and one of these little splash guard thingies, so I guess in case I spit or something like that, it protects the microphone. But I also think that it helps with the vibrations, so that's it's probably, it helps quite a bit. Tell you what, let's try this. This is without the guard. This is with the guard. Without, with. So let's figure out if that actually does anything for us. I have no idea. So on this little desk, I've got my alarm clock, got my charging cable for my iPhone, your standard lamp, which is my bedside lamp, and I've got my headphones, Soul Licker, S-O-U-L-C-K-E-R. And they're Bluetooth, but I usually keep them wired because I just, you know, I don't want to rely on the fact that I'm bad at charging stuff. For Christmas, I got the Nintendo Game Boy, which is not the Game Boy, but like it's a Nintendo Game Boy alarm clock. The reason why I haven't really fully adopted it as my primary alarm clock is because A, it relies on batteries. So that means that if I become reliant on it, I've got to remember to change its batteries. And it doesn't keep it, the screen isn't lighted up all the time. It's one of those things that you have to press a button in order to get the time, to get the light to come up and you see the time. And I'm one of these guys that in the middle of the night, I might wake up a few times. I'll look over and look at the time on the alarm clock, and if it's not time to get up, then I go back to, then I fall back to sleep. On a good night, that's usually what happens, and I don't have to worry about it. So if I have to reach over and press a button in order to get the light to come on, in order to tell what time it is, it's not a it's too much effort in the middle of the night, especially when you don't have to wake up. So, the reason why I haven't like returned it or done anything like that is because I gave it as a gift idea, as a gift suggestion, and it was executed on. So, because I was the knucklehead that suggested that for myself, even though it's not fully practical for my needs, then there it sits. I've got like a little miniature Galaga coin op game that I have over here that I barely touch. Every so often I'll play a game or two. Sometimes it's when I'm kind of waiting to I'm fulfilling time before like one of our podcasting episodes. I'm waiting on my co-host for something. I might break out Galaga and play a quick round. I'm not good enough so that I can get a high enough score that I, it like takes over. But still. Let's see. I've got a artist rendition of the Thundercats over here to my left. So that is framed hanging on the wall. Directly in front of me, I have a artist print of guys. The artist's name is Rory Smith, and he created this scene of just a kid playing with a whole bunch of toys that is just reeks of the 1980s. You have everything from Kermit the Frog to Smurfs to Teddy Ruxpin, My Pet Monster, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, He-Man, Ghostbusters, WWF. So all kinds of great toys, and this kid is just kind of in the middle of it. A little jealous of the kid because he's got the USS flag, G.I. Joe, boxed up on the by his wall. So it's like, why do you have that boxed up and you're not playing with it? I don't know. And then right above the print, I finally got the picture that I had gotten autographed by Christy McNichol framed, and so that's directly above that. So it's really interesting that I've got, my crush from back in the 70s framed picture on my side on the wall, and my wife sleeps right on the other side of the bed. So it's interesting to me that she hasn't like said, you know what, I'd really need you to like remove that Christie picture, because it's not like, we have like posters on the wall. In fact, yeah, that's about the only art that's on the wall is right here at Bonsai Retro Club Studio. I don't even know why I looked around. I know what my room looks like. I spent enough time in it. But yet, the only other thing that's really on the wall is the TV. So, yeah, that's really, that's all we have really going on in here. But, this little corner is kind of my little area that's inspiration with some retro love. So that's why it's a little more decorated than just, the traditional bedroom decor. And it's not that the bedroom's ugly or anything, it's just not decorated as far as having like a lot of art. So yeah, that's a quick glimpse as where we're at with Bonsai Retro Club and what I'm looking at when I'm talking to you. Unless I'm paying attention to my computer, and that happens a lot too. But as you know, with the this particular episode, that's kind of against the rules. I look at it for just kind of the setup, and then I try not to like look up anything on the computer, and I try to keep my fingers off of the keys. With all that, let's go ahead and get started. Let's insert our bumper.
This is 80-something podcast.
Bonsai! Bonsai!
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe! Ex to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hey, this is Bonsai Retro Club. I am Dave, and I want to appreciate everybody out there that's listening to me. Thank you for tuning in and downloading the podcast. We appreciate you in so many ways. You mean a lot to us. The Essential Movie Podcast episode that you're listening to, and you know, if you're a new listener, really what I've done is I found this list on RottenTomatoes.com. They listed their 140 essential 1980s movies. I've been working my way for an episode for every one of those specific movies, starting with 140, working my way to number one. Put a little bit of challenge for myself. And if you know anything about me, you know that what I've said the story before, if you listen to the podcast, is that, you know, a lot of times when people are they have podcast ideas or topic ideas, sometimes you don't execute on all of them because you kind of have a pre-assessment as to what you have to bring to the table. A lot of ideas, you know, that are good ideas don't get executed on because you're like, oh, you really don't know much about that movie. I don't know much about that TV show. So you don't really do it. And then unfortunately, the idea doesn't get, you know, brought about. You don't see it posted because the idea wasn't executed on. So what this Essential Movies podcast episode has been doing for me, or the series, it's been trying to train me to be open to concepts that I may not feel that I have a lot to talk about. And some of these cases, there's these movies that come up that I don't know a lot about or I haven't seen before. So I'm challenging myself to do an episode on them anyway. So as you may have known, when you clicked on the title of the episode, you would have known I'm talking about 1989's Field of Dreams. It's number 90 on the list. So 140 to 90 now. That's what, 50? I'm 50 in. That's friggin' awesome. That's kind of a milestone. I'll take it. That's really awesome. So what I do at this point is I'll say, hey, Google, tell us about the movie Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is a 1989 movie directed by Phil Alden Robinson, starring Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones, and Ray Liotta.
Google, give me the plot of Field of Dreams.
Here's the synopsis of Field of Dreams. When Iowa farmer Ray Kevin Costner hears a mysterious voice one night in his cornfield saying, if you build it, he will come, he feels the need to act. Despite taunts of lunacy, Ray builds a baseball diamond on his land, supported by his wife, Annie Amy Madigan. Afterward, the ghosts of great players start emerging from the crops to play ball, led by shoeless Joe Jackson. But as Ray learns, this Field of Dreams is about much more than bringing former baseball greats out to play.
Really decent synopsis. Thank you, Google.
I have just created something totally illogical.
That's what I like about it.
If you build it, he will come. If you build it, he will come.
If you build what, who will come?
He didn't say.
I hate it when that happens.
Me too.
Who's hearing voices?
Ray is. I think I know what if you build it, he will come means.
Ooh, why do I not think this is such a good thing?
Daddy, there's a man out there on your lawn. Are you a ghost?
What do you think?
You look real to me.
Hi!
You couldn't see it.
This is really interesting.
You believed in the magic. It happened. Isn't that enough?
Annie, it's more than that. I feel it as strongly as I've ever felt anything in my life. There's a reason.
Go the distance.
Did you hear the voice, too? Did you hear it?
Go the distance.
Yes.
Our Grave is dead. He died in 1972.
Are you Moonlight Graham?
No one's called me Moonlight Graham in 50 years.
Unbelievable.
It's more than that. It's perfect.
You build a baseball field in the middle of nowhere, and you sit here and you stare at nothing.
This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good.
Hey, is this heaven?
No. It's Iowa.
Kevin Costner, Amy Madigan, James Earl Jones, Ray Liotta, Burt Lancaster. Sometimes, when you believe the impossible, the incredible comes true. Field of Dreams.
Let me say for the record, I am, and I probably said it, I'm not a strong sporto type. In fact, when I was in grade school, and I was kind of forced to play baseball, you know, because of PE or, some kind of forced activity, then, you know, I was usually the one that ended up in the far outfield, you know, over where the dandelions grow. So it's like one of those things that I never really developed the skill for that, and I never really had a strong desire to. But courtesy of movies like Field of Dreams, and I would even go so far as to say like Moneyball. I've become a fan of that, even though I know that's not a 1980s movie. That's a much more recent movie. I get the romanticism of the drama behind a game that everything's on the line. So I can appreciate that. I appreciate, you know, when there's a very significant story to tell. And I know that a lot of characters, you know, or not a lot of characters, but there's a lot of stories like that in baseball. You know, if you were to follow each one of, you know, a kid through being graduating from playing, you know, just with his friends, you know, on the sandlot and going through his school career, you know, maybe he's playing for his high school, varsity letterman, all that kind of stuff. And he makes it to the bigs, makes it to the big league. There's the story of everything that that kid had to have gone through is predominant, you know, and it's a significant story. And if you were to look at it, you know, through its life cycle, you would appreciate the, like I said, the romanticism of baseball, or even any sport, you know, because there's challenges that are, you know, that's involved in football and hockey. I get it. You know, that's all part of it. And these are, you know, kids that just are passionate about, you know, the sport, the game. So the reason why Field of Dreams is really kind of significant about it is because the movie plays on the romanticism of the innocence of baseball. And it's not about the industry, you know, the pro players. I mean, there's a aspect where you have pro players that from the past that are emerging from the cornstalks to play. But there's just something about the movie that just really tugs at the heartstrings of the romanticism of the good story behind, you know, this America's pastime, you know, baseball. Now, I said this to my son. My son plays baseball right now. In fact, he plays baseball and football. But I'm not one that I'm interested to go to a lot of pro games. And so he's asked me just recently, because him and my wife are into watching football, and I could care less. In fact, I've gone so far as to even had my laptop with my headphones on, editing a podcast while they're watching football. And I'm not even paying attention to the game. I don't care. And so he's asked me, he goes, why aren't you interested in, football or sports is basically what he was asking. And I go, well, really, the only game that I'm interested in are the ones that you're playing. So if you've got it one on TV, unless I'm going to see my son Josh White, out there on the field, or if I'm at the stands, that's when I pay attention. If there's anyone else, I lose focus. And that's the truth. So I like to watch him. I like to be amazed by his athleticism because that's something I never, worked on that skill set for myself. So to me, that's the, using that word again, romanticism of the game, because I understand and I've seen him develop that skill set and work his way through to where he is now. I mean, he's gone through hockey, he's gone through football. He's still playing football, and now he's, doing baseball again. He's also went through soccer. So I've seen him through a lot of aspects and him doing the sports stuff. And to me, I just like to see the kid play because he's good, no matter what he puts his mind to. So in a way, I'm jealous of him, but not jealous enough that I want to start playing. In fact, it wasn't until probably maybe 10 years ago that I realized I could, successfully catch baseball in a mitt. It's like one of those things I just never made time for. And maybe it's because my dad died before, when I was really young. I don't know. No reason to kind of go into that topic. We're already talking about, the sentimental stuff of sports. So I don't even know why I have to go down, the road of talking about my dad dying of cancer. Different topic. We don't need to go there. So Field of Dreams, I think it's a friggin' awesome story. It's one of those things that really tugs into the heartstrings because you have Kevin Costner who's really kind of struggling. And, to take away part of the crop of his land to build this perfect baseball diamond. And just because he heard the words, if you build it, they will come, or he will come. And, not knowing what that meant, but he just felt it was something he had to do. And, so he created this diamond, baseball diamond, in the middle of his cornfield. Everybody thought he was off his rocker. Luckily, he had a supportive wife and family. And then it's like magic. It's like magic of all these baseball players from the past that have died, are emerging from the baseball field. And he even gets to play catch with his dad. So I thought, just a fantastic movie, fantastic story. Love James Earl Jones in this. Being kind of the skeptic, but real, suddenly hearing the voices too, and then participating in this craziness. Yeah, it's just all overall really great movie. And it's been interesting to share the whole thing about, my lack of athleticism with you guys. So something else you get to know about me, huh? Let's see, what else? What else about Field of Dreams? Huh. Yeah, I don't think I've got much more than that. Kind of shared the story I wanted to share. I go on to start rambling about Moneyball because I've seen that a few times. You know what? It's a really great comparison about the romanticism of baseball. I live in the Chicago suburbs. Anybody that knows that the Chicago Cubs had not won World Series in a long-ass time. And then, what season was that? Was that 2016? Shit, I can't believe I don't even remember anymore. But it wasn't that long ago that they finally won the World Series. And it was so amazing. You know, all the people that were just diehards and were so into the, you know, the games and the struggle, you know, here they were, you know, that just getting to, you know, the final game. And, you know, if you remember, they were even behind. And then there was that rain delay. And I keep thinking to myself that the MVP for the game was that rain delay. And if you remember right, they came out of the rain delay and just friggin' won. And to me, I think the story that needs to be told, and I think what's going to be a major movie sometime in the future, in the near future, is what was the speech like in the locker room during that rain delay? You had the Chicago Cubs, who haven't won a World Series in forever, and they made it all the way to Game 6. See, I probably got the stats wrong. I don't remember stats for baseball. Oh, they made it all the way to, you know, the final game that they had to win. It was a do or die. There's a rain delay. Somebody had to have said something that got everybody motivated to just go out there and play with their hearts. And I seem to remember somebody mentioning the fact that it was reminding them that they're supposed to be having fun, you know, that they're playing baseball. It's not, you know, forget all the drama, forget about, you know, the dynasty of not winning for years and years and years, but just go out there and have fun with it because they're playing baseball. It's a game. And I remember there being something about that. And I think that's exactly the message that needs to happen. You know, you need to be, you know, these pro players that have all this on the line, and you need somebody to go, you know what? We're getting paid to play whatever game it is, whether it be football, whether it be hockey, whatever. If this is something you're passionate about. And you've got to remember what got you started when you were a kid playing that particular sport. If you could hook into that feeling and forget the crowds, forget all the drama around having to win that championship and just have fun again, there's something there. And that's a story I like to hear about. But I think that the pro leagues and all of the drama of sports gets in the way of that. I think that everybody gets into the commercialism of it, and it's, you know, the win, win, win. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being competitive, but I think that if you keep to the heart of, you know, the whatever it is that got you passionate about whatever you're doing, then that's the reason to do it. That's the reason to build that diamond in the middle of your cornfield. You're passionate about something. It's your land. Just go for it. And if it's something that you care that much about or you're having fun with, then, you know, the good stuff will follow. Anyway, that's my two cents. But then again, you know, you're listening to a guy that's sitting in a corner of his bedroom talking to a microphone. Yeah, whose advice are you going to take, right? Anyway, this is about where I'm going to remind everybody we have a website out there. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BANZAI. On that, please go and click to our links for all our social media. There's Instagram, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Tumblr. Follow us on those things. Interact with us. We'd love to get your feedback on any of the episodes that we've done. If you want to shoot us an email, that's McFly at BanzaiRetroClub.com. If you are on Podbean, we do appreciate all of you that are following us. Same thing with iTunes. If you're doing the follow and rating review, we appreciate that. And with everything just said, I would like to remind everybody to please be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 On the next episode, we're going to be talking about the Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad, 1988.
Ray, people will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door, as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have, and peace they like.
Ray, just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines. Where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. And it'll be as if they'd dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
Ray, when the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
People will come, Ray.
You're broke, Ray. You sell now or you lose everything.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.